Number 24B.
So after having shown that the Paraclete will manifest itself to you, to each one of us, then he goes on to the little touch of signs in it, to the fourth point in it, and shows really that then you really find your peace. Then you are really in signs, one with the divine, one with the infinite one. And so he says, I leave you, I give unto you peace, I leave you with peace, and I give unto you peace, so let not your heart be troubled nor afraid. I go unto the Father, and my Father is greater than I. Again, always go to the Father. And what happens then? Then the prince of the world cometh and has nothing in me. See, now, or let's put it this way, before, from the main tone of truth, it was said the prince of this world is cast out. Truth casts out error. Now, at that point of love, the prince of this world does not need to be cast out anymore, because he's out. But even more than that, the prince of this world tries to come again, but he has nothing in me. He cannot enter. He finds a terrific fortress round about me that doesn't let the prince of the world come in. So that we see, let not your heart be troubled. Be at peace. The peace, I leave you in peace and I give my peace, and don't be troubled anymore, because the prince of this world finds nothing anymore in you, because you are one with the infinite. Yes, these are very quickly the 4 points through those empty boxes, and I just go quickly through it in just a flow, so that we see what the spiritual flow is. And therefore the flow that we have to culture within ourselves if we go the way of understanding. What is that way of understanding? So he first shows everyone, I must be clear about it, I go now through that little sub-subtone of Word, Christ, Christianity and science, always to bring out the oneness with the Word and Christ and Christianity and science. So the very first point of Word shows, look here, every individual knows the way to God now. I have shown the way and I have given the way, so everyone knows the way. He can almost say, I don't know the way. Second, he shows that if he goes that way, that he will do even greater works. It shows that if we go to that way, to the Father, that the Father begins to work in us, that is the Father that works in us, and he will show you even greater things. There is an evolution taking place, spiritual evolution taking place, spiritual evolution of understanding taking place. And if that evolution goes on, then he goes on and says that therefore then you will receive the Paraclete, the Comforter, and everyone will receive it, because the Father is going to use your mentality, your consciousness, and manifest itself to you. Doesn't say anymore that it will only manifest itself to Jesus, as it was the case at the beginning of the Gospel, but that it manifests itself to everyone who is open to it, and so brings to everyone the Paraclete, the Spirit of Truth, that will lead us into all truth, and that stays with you and stays with us forever and never goes away anymore. And finally, that gives us that sense, well, if that is so, if God reveals itself continually to us and constantly leads us on and on in greater work, then we really can be at peace. We have then that peace, and Jesus says, and I give you that peace, and I leave you in peace. But the point is, you are at peace because the prince of this world can come as many times as he likes to come, but he finds nothing in you. He finds no foothold in you. That's why we have peace. Isn't this a spiritual story, the flow of something that is reasonable, logic, spiritual logic? Yes. So we go on to the next vertical. to the Christ vertical, which we have epitomized as abiding in oneness. Why now abiding? The word said, there is a way. Now comes the Christ and says, go the way, abide in the way. Don't drop the way, don't deviate from the way, stick with the way. So we have all those terms which indicate really that we should abide. About 5 or 7, 8 times he gives terms that say abide with it, stick with it, remain in it, don't go away, don't be a castaway, so that you are always going along that way. And so we get here a great sense of abiding in the Word and in the Christ and in Christianity and in science. Always the term abiding or remaining or continuing it. Continuing what? Naturally, in continuing holding fast to that oneness with the Word and the Christ. So that in abiding with the Christ, we are not sidetracked by it, that we don't give in, that we stay with it and adhere to it, so that even if temptation comes, even if difficulties comes, we don't give in. This is the main tone of this abiding with it. How does he really exemplify this abiding in 4 ways? First, in the Word, he says, abide with your principle. He gives that illustration of the husbandman and the vine and the fruit, and that the fruit, the wine has to stick to the vine, that it cannot be separated from the wine, or else it doesn't get really the juice and the strength in it, and whatever the wine needs. So he says, so shall ye be my disciples. You are only my disciples if you stick to that Father, if you stick really to that Christ. It's like in Atonement and Eucharist, where that's also about the Christ, the Word as the Christ. Here is the Christ as the Word, but it has a lot of similarities, because the second chapter in the textbook, Atonement and Eucharist, gives all of that sense, stay in the oneness with mind, stay in the oneness with spirit and soul and principle, so that you are not losing your grasp on that principle, because the divine must overcome the human at every point, and it can only do that if you are one with the 7 synonymous term. So it has a great similarity with that chapter. Now, this is not so important, but it just shows that here and there we find a great coincidence with the text of the textbook, and gives us the assurance that really what that we have seen here, the structure of the text. Now, this is the first touch, abiding with the Father, abide by the principle, but you cannot do that without laying down your mortal sense of things. We cannot be one with the principle and at the same time one with something else. So he brings in that great sense, abide in love. Abide in love. In what way? In 3 ways. He says, abide in the Father's love, in the love of the Father. Abide in the love of the Christ. And abide by loving one another. So you can see he uses again those 3 words, Christ, Christianity, alone to bring out that we must abide by that fourfold calculus. Abide in the love of the Father, abide in the love of the Christ, abide in the love of men, so that he brings out for the first time, love one another. So the greatest love then he defines as the Christ, namely, that is that a man lay down his life for his friends. Can you hear the tone of the Christ now? The Christ is always that where it is willing to lay down the human for the divine, like in Atonement and Eucharist, that the divine must overcome the human at every point. No matter if that human is the gold of human character, even that has to be purified. Even that has to give way, really, to the spiritual idea of love. Then he says, if you do that, I have chosen you and ordained you. ye have not chosen me. Can you hear the Christ? Here we see how we are chosen, how we are given our life message, how we are given our life way, each individual. But not we choose our way. Not we choose what we want to do. Not we choose what we are going to do with our life. If I think back, I would never have thought as a youngster that I would do what I do. Never, never, never. I was quite a happy young boy, you know. I just liked to climb the trees and so on and to play with the other ones. And if I had to do some work for the school, that was too bad for that. But I would never have thought that I would go the way that I was going. I don't know how it came about. I only know it came about that I was dissatisfied with my life at a certain point when I was a youngster, and that I felt there is something else. And I took every moment to read the textbook, no matter if I understood it. Actually, I never understood it at that time, and still went back to the textbook knowing that there is a truth there. And that the only way out I could see, I was cornered in my life already with 20 years. I was really cornered, and I couldn't see a way out. So the only way out I found is to go to the textbook and trust that textbook to find somehow a way out. And it found its way out thanks to the fact that there was a crisis in the 30s. That helped me out. Isn't it wonderful that the crisis in the world, I mean after the New York stock market breakdown, there was a crisis in Switzerland, and that helped me out. I can't tell you how, but it was quite unexpected that way out. And so you can really see if one is willing to devote oneself and to say, golly, I'm willing to give up everything and everything if only I can find a way and I only can find out what really God wants to do with me. And then somehow in an unexpected way, even at that point I would never have dreamt that I would do what I do, that unfolded step by step, just as it does with everyone else. Everyone else who, as he shows, if he sticks to the vine, then he bears good fruit, but you have to lay down your mortal sense of your life. And then we can see that the Christ says, I have chosen you. Not you have chosen me. Not I have chosen to love the textbook. Not I have chosen really to read that textbook, no matter come hell or high water. I had sometimes to read it with, I don't know Fahrenheit, but that would be 20 degrees Celsius below. Oh, how much is that? Well, that's nearly like on the North Pole sometimes. In that weather, I had to go on my walks and read the textbook because the circumstances were such that that was the only way I could do it. But I did stick it through. So I didn't choose it. Who made me do that? The Christ. Somehow the Christ made me do that, not I. So we have to get rid of that thing that I have chosen the Christ, that I have chosen the Lord. We haven't. It is the Lord that chooses us. He says, I have chosen you. Just as Isaiah has always said, I have called thee by thy name. You are mine. The Lord says, you are mine. Not I said, Lord, you are mine. Yeah. Okay, so we can see here again how that works, how that idea of abiding first by the word, abiding first by the stem of the vine, and not drop away, not drop from the principle and give in to some other sources, but to stay with it, then we can be quite sure that the Christ begins to work and that that love for the Father is going to show that the Father is choosing us. So I have chosen you. Then we come to Christianity, where we have to stick really to the sense of Christianity. Here it is shown that we have to stick to it, no matter if the world hates us or loves us. Usually it hates us, because the world always hates the spiritual idea. And so he shows that we should should stick to the Christ and to the Father and the Christ and to each other, because really the world hates us, and he says, without the cause, without the cause. We don't have to reason out what is the cause of it. It just hates the spiritual idea. And so the world's hatred of truth and love, Mrs. Eddy says, that's the real cross to take on us. So he says again, I have chosen you, but now out of the world. He goes a step further. First in the Christ he has said, I have chosen you, not you have chosen me. Now in the Christianity he takes it to the world and says, I have chosen you out of the world. I have picked you, so to say, out of the world. And I have done all things. So we can see that spiritualization cannot be resisted. We can be persecuted. We can go through all sorts of persecution. But that doesn't really matter. God is more faithful to us than the world is to us. So the world, and he goes on and says, but the world does not know you. The world does not abide with the Father. The world does not abide with the Christ. He hates that world and he hates that Christ. But you have to stick to it. You have to abide with it. And then I lift you out of the world. I show you a way out. I show you the way out so that you are not being sunk in the world. And finally, we come to the fourth little subject, that it says, ye shall bear witness. They shall put you out of the synagogues. They will kill you as God's service. But that is not because they hate you, but that is because they hate the Father. They do this because they don't know. Now you get to knowing, you get to science. They do that because they don't know the Father nor the Christ. So this is how it ends here, that it says, you must believe, stick to it, believe in it, hold fast to it, have faith in it, in spite of the world's ignorance and the world's persecution. You have to go on. And this is what naturally we all have to do. If we look back on our life, it is not a life of a rosy way, though it is the way of understanding. But because we don't have right from the beginning our full understanding, we really have to go through various ups and downs. And that's good. That cleanses our character, that cleanses our attitude, that makes us ripe in life, that gives us maturity in life, and that's a good thing. So that we are no more troubled by the waves that blow and by the wind that blow, that doesn't matter. Think of what Mrs. Eddy went through. She had a rosy pathway. Think of what Jesus went through, not the rosy pathway. Think of what John Dolly went through. We only speak about John Dolly, you know, what we know about him as a teacher who revealed to us really the great idea, but we seldom talk about the way, the human way he had to go, and how many fights he had, how many ups and downs he had, how many of his best friends just left him. Over and over, just as Mrs. Eddy, she says, my best friends, I have only four left of my friends. How did Jesus go through life? Also through ups and downs, being persecuted by the high priest, by the Pharisees, by the Levites, by the scribes, etc. The disciples left him, and so on. This is all human life. That's all planned within that law, that way of life that says, that's all there in order to prove you, in order to prove, do you go along that way of understanding that is shown in the life of Jesus? Are you going to stick it out or not? And that is what is shown here too. It's that wonderful sense of staying with it. Let's run again through these last four, just to get the flow of it again, so that we don't feel that we have four situations that have nothing to do with each other, that are, so to say, disconnected from one another, but see that we always feel the flow of the word, Christ, Christianity, and science. Here the flow is that he shows as the main tone the abiding, the remaining. Just remember that. That's the main thing. So what should you abide in? Why should you abide in? And so for the very first point is that it says, abide with the principle, because only in your oneness with the principle you can bear fruit. If you don't stick to the vine, then you will not bear fruit. Then, if you stick to that principle, then you can't stick to that principle if a demand is not fulfilled. There is a demand in it. Just as in Atonement and Eucharist, there are always demands in it. The demands of mind, the demands of spirit, the demands of soul, and principal life, truth, and they are all demands to lay down the opposite, to lay down our oneness or our unity or our sticking to something which has nothing to do with the divine principle. So you have to lay down, he says, your life for a friend, because only then I have chosen you and ordained you. And so it gives the sense that we are really chosen by the Christ, and that we ourselves didn't have to do anything, that if something happens in a positive way in our life, that's not our doings about it, sorry that I don't find the word, but that it is God's work at hand, that God is working in us, and not we working in us. And so if we are willing to lay down the mortal sense of life for our friend, then the world does not acknowledge it. The world does not abide it, but you have to abide with it in spite of, now comes Christianity, in spite of persecution, in spite that the world hates you without a cause, in spite of everything, you have to stick with it, and then you will be chosen out of the world. That catapults you out of the world, and you are no more in the world, but then you are chosen out of the world. So what does all that bring about, or what is it that brings all that about, is that he says believe, a biblical term for understand. Believe in spite of the ignorance of the world. Just go on. Think of what we have to do. The whole world laughs at Christian Science. The whole world thinks Christian Science is just, a false religion, it's a false concept, and so on, and ridicules it because it doesn't know it. We can't blame the world that it does not accept Christian Science because they don't know what it is, and are, at that moment, are unwilling to investigate it. So we cannot stop because of that, because the world does not see the signs of it and is quite happy with some new ideas that come into the world, with new age theories and things like that. They are quite happy with that. But we have to stick to that science, to that straight way of science, and just know that it has its own time, that when the time is ripe, the world will accept it, but that's not our job. That's not our responsibility. The Lord will choose the time and the channels in order to bring it out. So believe, he would say, in spite of the ignorance of the world, we have to take up that cross. That cross was given to Jesus. He was not accepted. That cross was given to Mrs. Eddy. She was not accepted. That cross was given to John Dolly. He was not accepted, but excommunicated. So even if today we have to see this is still going on, that we have to go along the straight and narrow way and see that we keep the idea pure in the line of spiritual development. Yes, so this is the oneness with the Christ, and showing that this overcomes the world. Okay, tomorrow we'll take the rest.